so beautiful, Susie. I can't believe we're spending the day like this.
Such a beautiful day to be hand in hand with you.
Oh, a flower. It represents my eternal love for you.
Oh, Danny, thank you.
Oh, that's okay.
Isn't he just wonderful?
Oh.
Danny, you're my hero.
Oh, Susie, I love you so much.
Oh, isn't life just perfect?
It doesn't get any better than this. We're now going to fast forward a couple of years of marriage.
Oh, I don't believe this. Danny!
What?
How many times have I told you the correct way to put the toilet roll on the holder is so that it comes down the front, not over the back?
Oh, seriously? Again? You should be thankful I just put the toilet roll on the holder.
What? Now it's only my job to replace the toilet rolls in this house. Don't we both use the toilet?
Well, actually, Susie, I googled it and I know the correct way. Okay, for the ergonomics and the action of how we use it, okay, we kind of reach, grab, pull, tear, wipe. It's in that action, and that's why we have to go from the back and not the front.
Now, you're just mocking me.
Oh.
Honey, it's not about physics. It's about the look. It's about how it makes you feel. I mean, look at the patterns on the toilet paper. You can see it's designed to go this way, so it looks better.
That is why we can't even have the conversation where you should fold or scrunch, because you just don't get it. Do you know what? I'm going to my shed. I think I've had about enough of this.
That's right. Don't stay and talk it out with me. Just leave. Oh. You don't even really love me anymore.
Women, I tell you.
Men.
Now, that doesn't actually happen in our house every week. But maybe some weeks. I don't know. How about your house? Definitely around the back. Do you know, many people can relate to these kind of scenarios because, you know what, when we start off in our relationship and marriage, do you know, we just see everything through either blue eyes or pink eyes. Now, my blue eyes have just fallen on the ground. And the stupid thing is that silly things, small things, trivial things can start the biggest arguments in a relationship. But we wanted to highlight the different thought process between men and women. There are blue and pink glasses. These are ways of looking at life. There are gender differences, and I'm choosing blue for the boys and pink for the girls, which we're going to follow up a little bit later on. So before we kick off a little bit more, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we'd like to say thank you that as we open your word, as we understand what it means about walking worthy, our relationships that we have are vitally important too. And I just really pray that we would all understand, that we'd all grasp your word, that we would apply it to our lives, that we would certainly live by it and with it and through it, and Father, that we would bring you glory in every aspect of our lives. So we'd just like to say thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Walking Worthy series, that's what we're looking at in Ephesians. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the how we walk worthy in marriage, in our relationships, and we're concentrating on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. Now, there's going to be heaps of practical application. Okay, so there's more of that in the next 2 weeks, so please hang in there as we get to that as well. But first I need to lay the biblical application of why it's so important, and then we're going to be moving on to the how-to stuff. Now you might be thinking, this really doesn't have much to do with me because either I'm not married, I don't want to be married, I have been married, I'm not going there again, or the best ones are already taken, or I'm waiting for these young ones to grow up and see what we've got. You might be thinking for a whole realm of reasons. And you may even be sitting here or streaming in and you might not even be a Christian. Friend, what I have to say to you and to your marriage is just as applicable, so could I encourage you to stay tuned in. So whoever you are, there will be something for you to learn and to apply to life from these series. It could be a friendship that you currently have with the opposite sex, and you're kind of wondering where it's all going. It could be a friend who comes to you for advice, or even somebody that you're thinking about getting engaged to. In my experience with working for couples, it doesn't matter whether you've been married for a few years or lots of years, understanding how the other person thinks and receives love and respect can stop an awful lot of unnecessary heartache and disagreements. So Susie and I aim to give you a biblical and practical application of not only how to survive marriage, but how to have a happy and fulfilling marriage that you're both going to enjoy, that you're both going to look forward to coming home to, that will also result in spending time away together without the kids. But unfortunately, when we look at statistics in Australia, 1 in 3 marriages are failing. I don't know what the statistic is for those people that claim that they're Christians, but I can only imagine if we who profess faith in the designer and maker of heaven and earth and everything else in it, including us, if we lived in the total conviction that the Bible is God's direct word to us, which it is, and if we obeyed all of his words and his commandments and not just the things that we want or the things that we find are easiest to, I would say that our divorce rate within the Christian community would be remarkably lower than what it is. See, I believe that in the Christian community, we don't have a marriage crisis, but we have a faith crisis. Because we no longer live in the way the designer has made us or asks us to live. We feel it's okay to choose our own way, and then we get upset with God when it doesn't work out. Food for thought. Right at the start of this world and mankind, we read in Genesis 1 that we are God's design. We kind of just didn't rock up and kind of God wondered how this is going to go. This was God's design in the way he made us, in the way that he created us, in every single aspect. As men and women, we were created differently. We were created to be different. Yes, apart from the very obvious design in our physical attributes, which God certainly did very well there, we have been designed differently. We have been wired differently in our feelings, our responses, our actions, our thoughts, our emotions, our sexual desires. So therefore, because of that, we receive and we understand love differently. The Bible, which is our handbook on how we live, is full of how-tos for living the way that we've been designed that actually work. Whenever I go to work on a car or a tractor, there's a few things I do first. Is I research what I'm doing. I research how I'm doing it. I go back to the maker's manual and I read it and I study it. I normally go on YouTube to see somebody else that's already done it as well. And then that's how I actually work on my cars or my tractors. And there's no difference with our own lives that God has given us his word for us to read and to implement, because being the designer and the maker, he knows the very best way how we should and how we need to be living that's going to be fulfilling. As a pastor here at church, I spend the majority of my time mentoring people inside and outside of this church in their personal lives and their relationships, which I count a privilege to do so. And so I'm always looking for good books to help with people or help people along the journey that certainly are biblical based. The wife of a couple that both Susie and I know well recommended a book to me. And Susie and I, when we're on holidays on a houseboat, we've been working our way through it, and I must say that this book is excellent. The book is written by a pastor who spent more than 20 years of his role as a preaching pastor, which allowed him 30 hours a week to study the Bible. He also has a PhD in family studies, and he gives some solid advice for biblical relationships. So this is the book that we've been working through. It's called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson. Now, the majority of this series that Susie and I are going to run through has been taken directly from this book, which I can't recommend to you highly enough. It is a great investment for your marriage or somebody else's marriage that you know. We're going to have the book available to purchase after the service next week as well for a discounted price. So as we start, I'd like to ask you to please open your Bibles. I trust you bought your Bibles because we are at church. Look up Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. As you're looking up that, I will remind you that there are study notes at the back of the church for home groups that Nathan has kindly prepared. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, firstly, in the next passage, whether it's going to be husband or wife or children or parents or slaves and masters, we are all required to be submitting to one another out of our reverence for Christ. Now, out of reverence for Christ is a real key part here. So if you've got your Bibles, I'll underline it. We do this, why? Because we want to? Not necessarily because it's a good thing. No, we do it because out of our reverence for Christ. That is why, that's what undergirds this whole passage. Now take note. Each of us, regardless of what role we have to play, we as individuals are to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of our lives. Do you get that? In every area. It's not just part of the things that I want to obey him in. He said, you know what? I want you to be fully submitted. I want you to be fully on board, that we are to be in submission to Christ in every area. Remembering that Jesus is first, and our submission is to be to him first and then to others. Then it works. So please continue to read with me verses 22 to 24. It says, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the saviour of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so your wives should submit to your husbands in everything." Now, before somebody throws a Bible at me or gets upset, I want to kind of build why Paul is saying this and why it is so important. And I'd like to start off firstly by saying something to the men. Do you know, as we work our way through Ephesians, there is three times more said on this subject about submission in regards to the man's role in the relationship than the woman's. So men, we need to take note of that. We need to buckle up and we need to move forward. When God writes in this way, we know that it's something that he wants to enforce so we get it. So it's not something we brush over. When things are written in this way, he wants us to actually get it and understand. It's just like God is driving the point home because it's so very important. And I don't know about you other men sitting there, but I know that sometimes I need to be told a few times before I actually get it and listen. Now, firstly, this passage is directed to married Christian people. It says that the wife is to submit herself to her husband. So what does that actually mean? Now, unfortunately, this passage can be used to manipulate a good-hearted wife by a selfish and egotistical husband if he isn't Holy Spirit-directed himself. I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean a dictatorship where the husband rules it over his wife, not allowing her a voice or a thought or an action. It does not mean that. See, marriage works when a husband and a wife talk, discuss, thrash around decisions, and then come to a consensus. But like in every situation and every environment, the buck has got to stop with somebody. In the situation of the husband and wife, God has ordained that the husband is to lead the marriage relationship and his family, and he will be answerable to God for how he has led them. He needs to be consistently ensuring that he is being led by the Holy Spirit and not by his own misguided feelings of self-worth or piety. The husband is to lead them with love and grace and mercy, kindness, self-control, and in a self-sacrificial way, as it is outlined in verses 28 and 29. Now, this is how God has planned the order of things, just as in the same way that we are all to submit to Christ. Now, I can probably read a few people's minds here, and they're thinking, gosh, if you only knew my husband. He is a very difficult man to be in submission to, just as to the Lord. And I can understand that. And we're going to be touching on that. Well, not going to be touching. We will be discussing that in the next few weeks in terms of how that can work and then also what the man's responsibility is in that. So God has planned the order of things. Now, if my wife and my family are placing their trust in me to lead them in a godly way, my relationship with God, my submission to God in every area of my life is paramount. Now, we need to understand this thing. It's easy to sometimes read verses and think, that's great, I'm going to hang on to this one, but I'm going to forget about the other ones that are surrounding it. We need to understand that for me to fulfill my role to lead my wife and my family well, is my relationship with God has got to be good. Making sure that what I do is in submission to him in every area. I'd also like to add that nowhere does it suggest that women are inferior, lower or second class. In fact, the Bible teaches that we are all equal, but the husband is to lead. I could sum it up in this way. He is the leader amongst equals. Okay, I'd like to move on to the next passage about husbands. As husbands, for husbands, this means, we're reading from verses 25, for husbands this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and cleaned, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. Now, Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, is lifting married love to the highest level possible. because he saw in the Christian home an illustration of the relationship between Christ and the church. Now, we need to understand, just as the wives are told to be submissive to their husbands, we need to understand that as husbands we are told to love our wives in what way? That's right, in the same way that Christ loves his church. Now, we need to understand, and I've heard this argument a few times, unfortunately, that, the Apostle Paul who wrote this, he was just a chauvinist. Now, as I read the Bible, as I understand the Word of God, Paul, like all the other writers, have written this, how? Under the direction of the Holy Spirit. This wasn't Paul's musing thinking, do you know what? I need to sort out this wife of mine, so I'm just going to add this in the Word. No, he was under direction of the Holy Spirit. Directly from God, God is outlining, because he designed us, this is the way that we need to live for it to work well, because this is how I've designed things. So we need to understand that this was given under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Husbands, if you are to love your wife, you have to love her as Christ loved the church. Now, a husband is not to use or treat his wife for his own self-centered pleasure, but rather to show the kind of love that is mutually rewarding and satisfying, in the same way that Jesus has and is doing for us. Now, I'd like you to put your finger in Ephesians. I'd like you to flick over to Galatians chapter 2, please. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says this: my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Husbands, do you get it? We are to love our wife and give ourselves for her in the very same way that Jesus loves his church. And I'd like to underline this. There is no excuse for a Bible-believing husband who claims to be a Christian to treat his wife or his family second rate. There's no excuse for that. If we are truly following the Word of God and every part that is inspired and from God to ourselves, there is no way known possible that I could treat my wife, unless it's out of my own ego, in a bad way. There's no excuse for it. Men, I would like us to challenge ourselves with this. And ladies, Susie's going to talk a little bit more about your role next week. But in the meantime, I would like to encourage the men in this. Men, it is time to stand up. It is time for us to stand up and to be counted as men who love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be modelling it in our own families. Do you know, I think if we're doing it well, I would trust that our wives should be hearing from some of her friends, wow, how lucky you are to have such a great husband. Because if we are modelling this well as Christ loved the church, it should be evident by the way we speak to her, the way we love her, the way we self-sacrificially give of ourselves to her. And her friends that are looking at the relationship between husband and wife should be saying, wow, you are so lucky to have a good bloke like that. If we're doing our jobs well, I trust that should happen. And you know, what a great opportunity then for her to say, let me tell you why my husband loves me the way he does. It's because of his relationship with God. Your faith, men, our faith, should be shining through in every area of our lives, especially in your relationship with your wife and with your children. They are your first priority after your relationship with God. Now, I could actually preach a whole sermon on the roles, but they will be followed on in the next coming weeks. But I'd like to sum up this section with this statement. It says, there should be, now this is a really important point, there should be no starvation of love in the Christian home. For the husband and wife should so love each other that their physical, emotional and spiritual needs are all met. Why? Because they are being fueled by the Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish this. When I go in, when any of us go into any Christian home, you know what? It should be categorised by love and forgiveness. We should be able to see it and feel it because it should be evident there. The people there should be loving each other with obviously the husband modelling it and obviously the wife reciprocating and it follows through for the whole family. That's how a Christian household should be. There should be no starvation of love. Now remembering that I can't do it in my own strength. Okay, I'm a man, just like the rest of the men here. My wife is a woman, like the rest of the women here. And guess what? We're not perfect. And each day we need to wake up asking the Lord, Father, would you please strengthen and guide us and power us and help us by our Holy Spirit so we can accomplish these things with each other and within our families. It's not something we can naturally do. It's something that we need to make sure we're in tune and in submission with so that the Holy Spirit can work through us and in us. Now, I'd like to now draw your attention to the verse that sums up this section. It's found in verse 33. So go back to Ephesians 5 and have a look. Ephesians 5, verse 33, please. I trust you kept your little finger in there. Okay, it says this. It says, so again, I say, each man must love his wife as he respects, as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, do you notice there's a word change in there? As Paul summarises this, okay, so each man must love his wife as he loves himself. Now, it's a given that he loves because of the way that Christ loves the church, and that is what the example he's following. But you notice there's a different word, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, quite interesting, as you go through and work through the Word of God, it's also highlighted in 1 Peter, where it talks about advice for a woman that's married to a man that's not a Christian. I believe it applies right across the board, but specifically talking about that. And the question is posed, well, how does she show love and how does she show Christ in her marriage? And you know, it's summed up in this very same way that she should love and respect her husband. The word respect flows through again. Now, love shown from the husband to the wife in the same way that Christ loves the church, and in the same way the husband loves himself, and respect that the wife needs to show her husband in the same way she does to the Lord. So Paul clearly says that wives need love and husbands need respect. Now, as we follow this through in people's lives, there's a few things that we can see. When a husband feels disrespected, it is especially hard for him to love his wife. When a husband feels disrespected, he has a natural tendency to react in ways that feel unloving to his wife. Why are men told to love by God? Because you know what? I don't think we do a fantastic job with it. So God is constantly reminding us and drives it in, husbands, love your wives. Now, conversely, when a wife feels unloved, it is especially hard for her to respect her husband. When a wife feels unloved, she has a natural tendency to react in the way that feels disrespectful to her husband. Women are told to respect because that's the area where they can struggle the most in as well. Now, you may be thinking that you don't totally agree with me at this point. And that's fine. Hang in with me for the next couple of weeks and I'm going to roll it out far more clearly that you can see how it is so apparent and why wives need love and why husbands need respect. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. Now, you don't have to live very long in this world, nevertheless in a marriage, to work out that men and women are polar opposites in so many ways. They're very different. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing to celebrate. And that's why there's been so many books written about how do you understand the opposite sex. How on earth do you understand a man because his ways are so irrational? How do you understand a woman because she is so complex? And I've had different men in counselling say, you know, I could live for 5 whole lifetimes and never understand my wife. And I've had many women say, do you know, there are days when my husband is so disrespectful, when I wake up in the morning and I look across at him, I just want to reach the pillow and suffocate him. Now, we see the world very differently. Now, there's some really good books out there, by the way. It's Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. Really good book. Another secular book of that is that Men Are From Mars and Women From Venus. There's some really good books to understand the differences between men and women. Now, women and men are very different in the way that they communicate and the way we interpret things, even what we mean. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Let's just pretend I'm looking at my closet in the morning. Okay, I'm going to be Susie first. Okay, Susie comes up and she looks in the closet and she says, I have nothing to wear. Now, do you know what she's saying? I have nothing new to wear. When a man looks in his closet and says, I've got nothing to wear, it means there's nothing clean to wear. It means there's literally nothing in there. We speak very different languages. It's a little bit like the toilet roll. The look of the toilet roll is important in our lives. Well, in our house, I should say. It's becoming important. But we look and view things very differently, and that's fine. We all see things out of our own needs and perceptions. The problem is when we don't understand how to fulfill those needs. So too often we focus on our own needs and we simply overlook the needs of the other person. The wife needs love, and when she reacts in a disrespectful way, she's not trying to be disrespectful. The husband needs respect, and you know what? When he reacts, he is not trying to be unloving. And we're going to roll this out. See, women see the world through their pink glasses, and everything is filtered through that colour. Men see the world through the blue glasses, and thus everything is filtered to them through that colour. Now, they can be looking at the same thing, but looking from different angles and through their particular lenses. So they're going to interpret things through their own lens, which can lead them to be at odds with each other. Now, there's a problem. Not only do we see things differently, we hear things differently. It's like wearing either a pink or a blue hearing aid. Okay, so we can have our blue glasses and blue hearing aids on, or our pink glasses and pink hearing aids, because as men and women, we see and we hear things very different. So in that way, because we see and we hear things very differently, we can send each other messages in different codes. I'll use an example. You're a man who is talking to his wife, and as you're talking, you're getting a little bit wound up by what you're saying because she doesn't appear to be listening. Okay? I don't know if many men do it here. So as you're talking and you're talking to your wife, you can see that she is deflating right before your eyes. And it dawns on you then, there must be an issue. Just by the way that she is reacting, she must be sending you a code. Now, for a man, he generally just won't get it. But let me tell you, if there are 1,000 other women there in that room watching this conversation, and they've got their, don't forget, they've got their blue glasses, so their pink glasses and pink hearing aids on, they're going to be turning to one another and say, oh, that man is so brain dead. He just doesn't get it. He is killing her with his anger. And now let's turn it to the wife. When the wife is talking to her husband and she sees the spirit of her husband deflate, or he gets angry and he won't talk and he throws his hands up in the air and he heads out to the shed. And to a woman, to a wife, he won't talk and his behaviour can even seem childish to her. The 1,000 men who are watching through their blue glasses and their hearing aids are saying, I know why that guy shuts down. Look at the way that she's talking to him. How disrespectful. Unbelievable. And so this crazy cycle can go around and around and around. There is blame, silence, criticism, anger, raised voices that all result in both parties feeling unloved and disrespected. I'd like you to imagine this, just to drive this point home a little bit more. Pretend you're a deep sea diver, walking along the ocean, and you've got this big mask on, and the only way that you can breathe is through this pipe that comes up from your mask and goes into the boat. And just pretend this oxygen, or it is your only lifeline. Do you know what? When we are not hearing or responding to our spouse in the way that they need, it's like we're stepping on the air hose. We're stepping on it, before long we go, I can't breathe. It's exactly like that, because we are shutting them down by the way we love, or in our disrespect, we are shutting them down and they're finding it hard to breathe. And then what happens? There's going to be a reaction. See, men hear criticism as contempt, and women feel silence as hostility. We need to learn how to relate and talk to each other in each other's language that we both understand. When a wife is complaining or criticizing or crying, she is sending you an encoded message. I want your love. And whenever a husband is speaking harshly or not speaking at all, he is sending his encoded message, I need your respect. There is so much more that we're going to continue in the next coming weeks, because this is a very important subject of how to have a good marriage. So friends, next week Susie is going to be talking to the women about how to respect your man in the way that God has designed him to hear and to receive your love. Okay, so Susie's going to be here. She's going to be talking about two women. How does your man receive love biblically? Because when you step it all out biblically, it makes an awful lot of sense. You know, as I read that book, I had many aha, we both did, many aha moments about, that makes a lot of sense. Why didn't I get that before? So that's what's going to happen next week, and the week after I'll continue talking to the men about how a woman needs to feel your love. But my challenge, I'd like to leave you with this. My challenge is this. In the coming week, is that if we could examine if we are fully committed and submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ in every area, and to objectively examine how you are reacting and responding to the members of your own family, you know, in importance to either your husband or wife. And alike, as you think through that, ask yourselves, am I reacting or responding in the way that Jesus would? And you could even go further and say, well, if not, why not? But we're going to follow that through in the next coming weeks. So I'd like to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I would like to say thank you that you have designed us so very differently. Father, and you know that sometimes that can certainly bring us to some odds and some difficulties. But we thank you that we can read your word and understand what and how you designed us so we can fulfill each other's needs. Father, that we could love and we can be respectful and, Father, to be in submission. Father, we'd like to say thank you for our relationship. And I'd just like to pray for every marriage that is here or watching today, that you would help us to be really committed to you in every area, and that things would flow out into our families, whether it be husband or wife or children. Whatever scenarios, would you help us, Lord, to be Christ-like? So we'd like to give you thanks for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Bill.